Welcome to another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. Today's episode, we are talking about body dysmorphia in weight category sports. Unfortunately, body dysmorphia and disordered eating behaviours are extremely prevalent in weight category sports. In today's episode, we talk about why this is the case and how to foster a healthy relationship between yourself, your body, and your food intake. Alrighty, guys, welcome to another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. I am Loz, the expert dietitian Nash. Okay, we're going to start that again because I feel like, you know what though, knowing Geordie, he's going to listen to this and he's just going to upload it anyway. So I reckon let's just rock and roll with it. But anyway, off air, we were just having a laugh about who was going to host. And I always say how Geordie throws me on the spot and I was getting good at it. But then today I obviously jinxed myself because I totally screwed that up. But I'm just so excited that we get to do our first podcast episode together because we haven't done one yet. So Jack, welcome.
Thank you. I'm very impressed with your hosting ability so far. So yeah, very excited to have the first podcast together ever.
Well, you taught me well, you know, took me from a student and now look at us now.
I don't know. Is it 2 years now?
I think maybe like a year and a half.
There we go.
I know, gone time flies when you're having fun.
Now hosting podcasts in a year and a half. There we go.
I know. How is that? I'm so grateful. Anyway, I suppose, what are we actually talking about today? So today's podcast, we're going to be talking about body dysmorphia in weight-based sports. Obviously, we have a lot of combat sport athletes, but not only combat sports, we've got weightlifters, powerlifters, and we've got jockeys. So there's a lot of other sports other than, you know, combat that weight is a big pressure. And although, you know, focusing on weight is never something that we want to do, the reality of weight-based sports is that athletes do need to make weight so that they can compete. And unfortunately, things such as body dysmorphia and disordered eating are quite prevalent in those sports. So today, Jack and myself, we're going to talk a little bit about what is body dysmorphia, as well as, you know, symptoms and signs to look out for, and both of our experiences personally and also with the clients that we work with and in the sporting scene. So do you have any kind of, you know, introductory comments, Jack, on what we're going to be talking about today?
No, as you said, I think that body dysmorphia is very prevalent. I think obviously making weight is a major component to a lot of work we do, especially with competitive athletes. But I think what goes unnoticed a lot by everyone, even the athletes themselves, is the fact that obviously making the weight and getting down to a certain weight or managing weight is one component. But what we're seeing a lot of, especially these days, which I think it's always been very prevalent, but I think even more so now with like social media, is people's perceptions of their bodies, or them striving not only to get their weight down, but to achieve this, achieve a certain body composition, which is usually, you know, muscular, shredded, no body fat, that kind of thing. So the view on their bodies is a just as a big of component as them making weight.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's such a great point. And, you know, in today's society as well, we have to deal with constant pressure and comparison with social media. And I think we've spoken about it on the podcast before. Obviously, social media is great, but unfortunately, it does open us up to a lot of kind of comparison and seeing what celebrities or elite level athletes are doing and looking like and wanting to be like that, and also thinking that fitness or health has a size and a shape, but it really doesn't. So anyway, I reckon let's start off first by just kind of describing what body dysmorphia is, and then we can move through, you know, some of the symptoms and then the prevalence of it in combat sports. So ultimately, what body dysmorphia is it's actually a disorder. So body dysmorphic disorder is a mental health condition where people have this constant worry about the way that they look. So for example, common behaviors include constantly checking their body, comparing themselves to others, not necessarily even just looking in the mirror, but, you know, grabbing their skin and just constantly obsessing and idealizing over their body. And this preoccupation with their appearance can become, you know, quite suffocating and so extreme that people start to struggle focusing at work, at training, at school, all of those types of things. So, you know, it often gets thrown around, oh yeah, body dysmorphia, oh, I've got, you know, such bad body image issues. But the reality is this is actually quite a serious condition. And if it's not recognized or intervened, it can develop into a serious mental health condition, which, you know, there's a lot of other conditions such as, you know, anorexia or binge eating disorder. And they are different. However, they can all coexist and unfortunately do start off from similar origins in terms of, you know, finding something negative about ourselves and just obsessing over it. So, Jack, do you want to run through maybe a few of the symptoms that we see in individuals with body dysmorphia?
So I think it's important to just start off with the thing that everyone at some point has had body image issues. So there's a difference between us talking about, people kind of having body image issues in different degrees. But as you said, like it can get to a certain level in which they become overly obsessive and it becomes a mental health disorder, becomes all encompassing. I think that's what we need to differentiate first of all, like just because maybe sometimes you feel out of shape doesn't mean you have a disorder. We're just trying to say that if it's not dealt with or you don't kind of seek help or come to terms with different aspects of this, it can become a kind of debilitating kind of mental disorder. So we're going to mention this, but just kind of understand that kind of thing. I think some of the most common kind of signs and symptoms is, kind of obsessively looking at yourself in the mirror. So obviously looking at yourself, multiple times a day, if they, like you said, like grabbing your fat, looking at all these imperfections or your perceived imperfections in your body. And I think another common one, which you see a lot in competitive sports, especially in the gyms, is that self-comparison. So looking at somebody, their body type. So everyone knows someone in their gym who has what a lot of people perceive as the most athletic body, which is usually, again, low body fat, muscular and stuff like that. So comparing yourself to that person, but feeling and then making and feeling bad about yourself or saying that, negative self-talk. So negative self-talk is another component to it, but it's very much linked to the comparison stuff. So, and also the compulsive checking of your own body image in the mirror. So that compulsive thought processes about, your imperfections in comparison to someone else, your compulsive thoughts about how out of shape or how fat you are in the mirror. So those are the kind of the two main components is this constant obsession. So it's like, obviously sometimes when different points you may look at yourself, but it's when it becomes obsessive and compulsive. So it's like it kind of all encompassing throughout the day or when you're training or any point of the day, you're constantly thinking about this. And I think like when me and Jordy have spoken about before, this kind of does overlap with different aspects. Like again, so this can lead to restricted eating. It can lead to, more like kind of mental health issues such as anorexia and bulimia. But it's more so like the difference between, say, body image issues and, say, body dysmorphia is more this obsessive and compulsive thoughts around your perception or of your own physical flaws.
Definitely. And I think what you've said is super important. It exists on a spectrum. You're not either, extreme body dysmorphia or, body image issues. You can be anywhere between that and you can, regress or progress between both of those levels. And I think both you and I would probably, again, we've had days, weeks, months, I don't know, you look at yourself and think, oh, I'm looking out of shape. Or, I used to have, 5% body fat percentage and now I clearly have 20%, it's so natural to have all of those thoughts. And sometimes they can be super harmless. But it's when it does get to the extreme, as you said, it becomes all encompassing and it's pretty much taking up 99% of your brain capacity is when, okay, it starts to become a little bit of an issue. And you also mentioned, it can lead to constant dieting and also over-exercising, which obviously we see quite a lot with our athletes and with our clients. And that is when obviously, yes, it can lead into other things, as you mentioned, such as disordered eating behaviors. And the prevalence of things such as body dysmorphia, it doesn't discriminate. It does impact both men and women. Around 2% of the population experience it. And I imagine probably more just have general body image issues. But of course, it can be more common in groups such as, say, teenagers, women, and also people with pre-existing maybe mental health conditions, and as well athletes. I think athletes are very vulnerable to this because, again, depending on what type of sport you are, as you mentioned, they're in the gym, looking at other people, comparisons, maybe the type of clothing that you have to wear for your sports. Obviously, we always talk about weight-based sports where weight is the focus, but also these types of behaviors are so prevalent in aesthetic sports as well. So, for example, gymnastics, diving, figure skating, all those types of things as well. So it doesn't always necessarily have to be about a weight, but yeah, the perception of your body. And I think, part of the reason we're doing this is so that, you've had a lot of experience with it with your clients. And I've obviously had personal experience with it coming from an aesthetic sport in my past. I think I've mentioned it on podcasts before, but I used to do figure skating and I was never, I was always lean and I was an athlete, I had a great physique and I don't know what it was, but I think it was that self-comparison, constantly seeing other girls in leotards and blah, blah, blah. And you just start to think, okay, well, I don't know, where am I? Or, I'm apparently, not fit enough or X, Y, and Z. And it kind of just spirals into all these negative beliefs and behaviors and then disordered eating and over-exercising and trying to do all of those things. So yeah, whether you want to get there or not, sometimes it just happens, and we've all been there. I've definitely had a huge experience with it, but I think being able to talk about it and recognize it as well is a huge, huge important thing for people listening to take away. Think, okay, am I looking at myself and thinking, I've kind of let myself go? Or are you constantly, looking at yourself or trying to avoid yourself? Because as I mentioned before, it does exist on a spectrum and doesn't have to be serious, but again, it can become quite serious and debilitating. So it's always better to intervene earlier.
Yeah, and it's also as it gets to more the extreme end of the spectrum we're talking about, it can become like a very distorted view. So this is when you kind of go to the deeper into the mental health component of it. It's a very distorted view. So obviously, you may see someone who you perceive as, in fantastic shape, or they're very, low body fat percentage. But this kind of body dysmorphia is when they themselves look at themselves in the mirror, when they're comparing themselves, they see themselves as fat, or they see physical flaws that maybe everyone else is not seeing, because it becomes a distorted view of self. This is what we're trying to say, is that, it's all good and well to be like, oh, you're in great shape, but it's the person's own perception of themselves. And this is what you don't see a lot of. So you might see someone in great shape and what you think is fantastic, they look amazing, but for themselves, they might be struggling behind the scenes and being like, okay, well, 10% body fat, but I need to get to 7 because then I'll have striations here and my biceps will be popping or something like that. So I think that's what's really not spoken about, is that how people perceive themselves can be really distorted. And this one, it kind of leads to these really negative health implications. And obviously when we talk about things when people mention anorexia and bulimia, a lot of those people who are suffering such a disorder have a distorted view, as a lot of people know. When you see someone who's severely anorexic, we obviously, it's very concerning and kind of confronting to see, but in their own eyes, they still see themselves as fat, even though they're at skin and bones at the, at the very extreme end of such a disorder. So, and that's what we kind of, when we speak about these things, or when our viewers or athletes kind of speak to people about this, it's very important to kind of empathize with people and kind of understand that they might be struggling behind the scenes, or they might see themselves different. Because you see a lot in the gyms, I think it's very, I see it all the time. Someone might be put on a little bit of weight and it might be a throwaway comment look at your stomach, or you put on a bit of weight there, huh? And then you might think it's a throwaway comment, someone does. But that person, that might send them into an absolute spin, or especially when I went to Thailand, if you put on a little bit of weight there, or you're not absolutely tiny, they call you fatty or Buddha belly and stuff like that, the Thai trainer. So it's just again, we're talking about this kind of combination of, the social media pressure, the culture within certain sports to look a certain way. And I think this is what we can both talk about. I think, coming from your CrossFit background, if I watch CrossFit videos, it's guys who are absolutely muscular, not much body fat. The girls are in fantastic shape, booty shorts and crop tops, a lot of skin exposed and fantastic shape. And they're kind of idealized, Matt Fraser and, I don't know, was it Sigmund's daughter or something like that?
Yeah. Icelandic. Good job. Girls. You've clearly been watching a bit of CrossFit or
And then they're obviously idolized. So if you were in that sport, of course you're going to think like that. Or in combat sports, it happens all the time. I remember Michael Chandler was in the lightweight division. In his last fight, he was in phenomenal shape, and then it was just Instagram posts about how phenomenal he looked. So people are going to this is what I should look like. And this goes back to what me and Jordan talked about, is that body fat percentage or leanness doesn't really mean optimal performance or being an optimal athlete or optimal health. So this is these kind of things that we're trying to speaking about, how me and Jordan have spoken about body image and relationship with food and body fat percentage and performance. And kind of this is where what we're talking about today kind of leads to the extreme end of not dealing with these issues can lead to these kind of really detrimental areas in terms of body dysmorphia.
It's so complex, right? When you just explained everything that you just have in terms of, how interrelated everything is, whether it starts from a comment from a friend or a comment from a stranger, or, just messages that you say to yourself all the time, things can distort your view. And again, it comes back to self-perspective. You know, the person that's struggling with body dysmorphia, 100 people could tell them that they look great, they look incredible, you know, they look so lean or whatever it is. But if they don't believe it, or if they don't perceive that to be true, all those 200 people's inputs are just obsolete and don't mean anything. So it really comes back to the individual. And I think, again, kind of emphasizing not necessarily, you know, self-love and self-care, but just changing the narrative and trying to adopt, you know, a healthy relationship with yourself. Because regardless of what other people out there will say or comment, at the end of the day, it comes back to the messages that you're kind of saying to yourself up in your brain. So I think, yeah, and unfortunately being in sport, whether it's a backhand comment or, you know, it's something serious from a coach or a peer, comments about body weight and or physique can be really detrimental to someone. And, you know, on social media, you see a lot of posts, you know, or discussion about don't comment on other people's bodies. And I think it's true in a way, because same if, you know, someone maybe has been on a weight loss journey and they're losing weight or something, and people will always be, oh, wow, you look great, or, oh, gosh, you've lost so much weight, blah, blah, blah. Well, so what are you saying? You know, you never congratulated them before, so now you're only congratulating them because, you know, they're on a weight loss journey or something. So I think, again, you know, maybe just think before you comment on other people's bodies, for people that are listening now and have a really great relationship with their body or with their self and with their diet. You know, that's really awesome for you and actually so great, because it's hard to get to that level. But you don't know the relationship that the person you're about to talk to or give a comment to has inside their own head. So I think for everyone, just having that awareness of the impact that, you know, small comments can have on someone's mental health, and especially in the sporting world, especially with physique, you know, comparisons everywhere you look, whether it's magazine, TV, radio, friends, sporting group. I think, yeah, just being a bit of being more aware of what you're going to say and kind of the implications that might have for the person receiving the message, as well as something probably to take away from this podcast, because, you know, some people will happily shrug it off, a comment like that, you know, oh yeah, I just went on holidays and yeah, okay, I'm looking a bit, you know, worse, or, you know, that kind of comment might actually, as you mentioned, just cause them to spiral and start adopting, you know, unhealthy behaviors such as yo-yo dieting or restricting themselves or over-exercising. And then of course they can have a myriad of health implications later down the track. So, you know, as we mentioned, it does exist on a spectrum, but even if it starts small, it can snowball. And I think just being able to manage that and seeking help as well, whether it's from a psychologist, a counselor, a dietitian, a friend, a loved one, reach out, because, you know, chances are you're not the only one dealing with it. You're definitely not alone. I think so many people would be able to put their hand up right now listening and say, yep, okay, I've had times in my life where I've experienced really poor body image and or relationships with food. And I think, of course, you don't have to talk about it, but being able to comfortably talk with someone or seek help and guidance can be a huge way to try and get on top of any negative relationships or mental kind of narratives that you're telling yourself.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly important to like get onto it early. Like if you find yourself kind of having these compulsive or obsessive thoughts, to kind of seek a bit of help, because again, it may not be the reality. You know, even though someone might say a throwaway comment, they might not even mean it. Some people can just be a little bit toxic sometimes, yeah, in some settings. So just kind of understanding that, and like we've talked about, like it's on a spectrum. So like we've spoken about many things that kind of interrelated. So like my advice would be, like, you know, if you're having some of these thoughts or these self comparisons kind of like come taking over, just go back to the basics in terms of, you know, kind of challenge your own self-image, you know, and then lead into like looking at your relationship with food, the kind of basics that we've kind of gone over these podcasts about recently. Just look at the kind of basics and kind of self-reflect. But I think that psychological help, like from a mental health professional, whether how intense that is, or it's once a month or once a week, whatever you prefer, I think everyone should do it in general. Just because it's just a healthy thing to do, like just like going to the gym, speaking to a professional, or even if you can't afford that, or you don't want to speak to a professional, speak to someone who is empathetic and kind and understands you. Speaking to someone about this kind of stuff, especially if you're in the athletic world, but I think general population, is so important. And I think that's something that the Mental Health Day comes around and everyone does a post, which I'm guilty of as well. But I think that, you know, seeking help, being mature about it and doing it early is really important. And then to follow that, try to, whatever environment you are, if it's a friendship, if you own a gym, try to change the culture. So kind of stamp out the fat shaming, stamp out the little comments, especially like, you know, I've seen it happen to, you know, females, which I think are generally a bit more susceptible to it. Changing the culture about the way you approach talking about weight with people, talking about body weight with images, because for when I was 16, this is a long time before Instagram, so you can guess how old I am, that I was 6'2" and skinny as a rake. And then I was obsessed with being massive. I wanted to be big and muscular. And I remember just eating obsessively and pumping weights, trying to get bigger. And I was 17 thinking about I should take steroids, because I saw all these guys and I was idealizing them, because this big muscular guy at the beach has all the girls around him. That happened to me. So I ballooned up to 105 kilos. Wasn't in the greatest body composition, but again, and then I went through this period before I became a dietitian, before I found Muay Thai, of kind of just obsessively trying to build muscle and comparing myself to another guy at the gym. I want to look like that, not knowing that maybe I could never look like that guy in the gym, because one, I'm not in steroids, or two, I just don't have the genetics that guy has. So the stuff that I'm kind of saying is that I've myself struggled with body image over the years, especially before I found Muay Thai. When I found Muay Thai, it became more of I started training just for the enjoyment of the sport, trying to get my skills up and trying to get fitter. And then obviously I became more self-accepting. But I think, especially with working with as many athletes as I have now, I just see on a weekly basis how people struggle, how people talk about to me openly about their own, comparisons. But I want to do this. I want to look like this guy. I think a few of my athletes, obviously I post on the weigh-in day, and they're like, oh man, these guys are so muscular, I want to look like that. One, again, genetics. Two, different person altogether, different training modalities. And again, weigh-in day is not indicative of how they look 24/7. But again, just seeing how prevalent it is, and that's what we thought was so important to talk about. Not to say to diagnose everyone with body dysmorphia, but just explain how this spectrum can go from very, very innocent kind of body image on and off, not feeling great, to this very detrimental disorder, which is, a mental disorder, and which can be very detrimental to your overall health, both mentally and physically.
Yeah, no, that was really awesome. And thank you. And I do agree, at the end of the day, like you said, we're not here to diagnose everyone with body dysmorphia. It's increasing in awareness and just making you a bit more aware and self-aware of comments and behaviors and way to act. And I think, a good way to finish touching on what you just said is, 100 people could exercise, do the exact same exercise and diet the exact same, and we'd all look different because genetics, metabolism, all those types of things. So again, coming back to, don't compare yourself to what you're doing against other people, because we all are different and that's what makes us beautiful. So yeah, I reckon let's wrap it up there with that really lame comment on my behalf. And if anybody really enjoyed, today's topic, let us know. And or Jack's got quite a lot of good resources on his social media about fostering a healthy relationship with food and body image. So if you would like some more resources, go over to his Instagram, The Combat Dietitian. And yeah, we will see you next time. Thanks, Jack.
No worries. Have a good day.
You too.
And there it is, another episode of the TFD Performance Podcast. If you like this episode and you enjoy our content, then you will absolutely love our new TFD Performance Hub. Our first course on the hub is the Performance Nutrition for BJJ course, which is perfect for grapplers looking to master their nutrition. And if you follow the link in the description, you can even snag 40% off that course. This podcast will be available through the podcast app, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and if you follow along our socials at @_FightDietitian, you can see all of the best bits from our podcast episodes. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys for the next episode of the TFD Performance Podcast.